Before we open God's word, let's turn to him in prayer. Father God in heaven, before thee do we come in this afternoon hour, with this opportunity yet again to look into thy holy and living word of life, and to see, dear Father, what thou wouldst have for us. And we trust, dear Father, that thou dost have a message for us that we need to hear. We trust in thee, through the leading of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt show us in this afternoon hour and each and every day in our lives what we need to hear, what we need to learn, and how we need to better our lives, dear Father. And we pray for watchful and careful minds and hearts, that we would always be willing to accept whatever it is, whatever thy message is for us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, with God's help, I desire to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, and read from verse 12 to the end. John chapter 8, verse 12 to the end. This is a long reading, but it all flows together, and I find it hard to find a place to shorten it. So with God's help, let's read again from verse 12 to the end. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. May God bless the reading of his holy word, and may we bow before him in prayer. When we look at the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are many. The Old Testament was an uncompleted, unfulfilled version of the New Testament. Yes, the Old Testament did have a covenant, a way for God's people to connect with him, but it was incomplete. It was not a personal relationship that God's people could have with him. When the people would sin, the high priest could go into the holiest, most holy place only once per year and give an offering for his sins and for the sins of the people. The people could not appeal directly to God. They had to go through the priest, and again, only one time per year. There was a disconnect, a sort of disconnect between God and his people. The Old Testament law we read in the New Testament can show us that we are sinning. We can read the law and compare our lives to the laws, but it cannot save us. Just knowing the Old Testament laws could never bring salvation. And God knew this. If we look at when the Ten Commandments were delivered in the book of Exodus, after the Ten Commandments were delivered, it says, All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain shaking, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. It was a very, to them, to the Israelite people, very scary scene to see that Moses went to the top of the mountain and spoke there with God, and there was thunderings and lightnings, and no human or animal could approach that mountain without dying. So again, it was a disconnect, not at all what we would deem a personal relationship between God and his people. And God knew this, and he gave us a promise of a better way that would be inclusive for all people on the earth. No matter what ethnicity they are of, they have a way to come to him. And that is, of course, we know only through his son. In Isaiah, chapter 7, we read in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." We know that word, that name Emmanuel, means God with us. God is present here with us. We can have a personal relationship with him. That's what the name Emmanuel means. So the names in the Bible, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, the names have meaning very often. They mean something about that person's character or something about what that person was to be sent to do. For example, Abraham, the name Abraham means father of many. Or Samuel means God has heard. We know that Samuel's mother could not have a child, and she was very sorrowful that she could not have a child, and God gave her a child, and she called his name Samuel, saying, "God has heard my prayers. God has heard and known that I wanted a son." So again, these names mean something. Emmanuel means God with us. But God in the Old Testament also gave himself a name. He gave himself a name to Moses when the Israelite people were trying to escape from Egypt, from slavery. That God had basically hand-chosen Moses to be the leader of his people. And Moses, we know, was nervous about this. He was nervous that he was the one selected to go forth to speak to Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. So Moses had all these questions. And naturally, he was nervous, like as I believe we would be. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." This is the name that God gave Moses, I am. Again, this has a very deep, very powerful meaning that God is. He is, and he always was, and he always will be. God is. He says, I am. That is his name. So now going back to the chapter that we have read this afternoon, John chapter 8. John, the book of John is different from the other Gospels in that it speaks more than the other Gospels as to who Christ is. Right away in the first chapter, right when in the start of the book of John, he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, by this word, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And this whole first chapter of the book of John is so powerful and so speaking to us so beautifully who the Word of God is. It's God himself. And I believe we find that here in this chapter 8 of John as well. Jesus is many times trying to tell these people who are listening to him who he is, who he truly is. The King James Version that we know and we love so much, we know, of course, the Bible was not originally in English. It was translated from the Old Testament from Hebrew and Aramaic and the New Testament from Greek. And the King James Version that we read puts words that are italicized. When a word is italicized, that means it is not directly translated from the original language. It's not always possible to translate directly from one language to another. There are gaps, missing words, just because of the way that different languages flow. For example, in verse 44, we read, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." That word "your" is italicized. So if we're looking at a direct translation, it would be, "Ye are of Father the devil." Well, that doesn't really make sense in our English, so they put the word "your" in italics to help us understand, yes, this is, we added this word, but to help you understand it. So they're being very, the writer, the translators of the King James Version were being very clear of what words they added to help our understanding. But if we look in verse 24, Jesus says, "I said, therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And again, that word he is italicized. If we read it without that word, it would say, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. If we don't believe that Jesus is God himself, that he has the power to give us victory over sins, then we will die in those sins. Again, in verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. When ye lifted up the Son of Man, the cross, you'll know that I am. And we know that that was the case when Jesus was crucified. The people that were around that saw him hang on the cross, that saw that in the middle of the day, at the noontime hour, there was darkness. It looked as if it was midnight at noon. And the people that were watching said, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. They knew who he was. And that's what Jesus is foretelling here. Ye will know who I am when ye have lifted me up on the cross. And the people here did not want to hear this. The Pharisees were always looking for ways to challenge him, to challenge who he was. Jesus had a question to the Pharisees. He asked them, who do you think the Messiah is? Whose son is he? And they said, well, he is David's son. Because in the Old Testament, many times it spoke that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was to come from David, from his seed, from his lineage. And Jesus asks them, and he says, well, if he's David's son, then why does David call him his Lord? Many times in the Psalms, David writes with a knowledge of who his Lord is. Yes, the Messiah will come from David, but he was also from before David. Long before David was, Jesus says, I am. And they had no answer for this. How can Jesus be David's son if he also came before him? And we know Jesus himself tells us in Revelation, in the last book of the Bible, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. Both the root before David and the offspring of David. He is all in all. He can be both before and after David, again, because of who he is. And I believe that these people listening, they knew exactly what he was telling them. They understood the Old Testament law. They understood the exactly what God commanded his people. And they knew exactly what the Messiah was to look like, what he was to teach. But they didn't want to accept him. They were looking for someone greater than he, someone who perhaps gave himself honor. But Jesus says, I'm not going to give myself honor. That's not who I am. And at the end of this chapter, very clearly he says in verse 58, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Again, this time is not there. I am, telling them I am God. And they didn't like this, of course. They took up stones to cast it, and they tried to kill him. But Jesus' time was not yet come. The time of his death and his resurrection was not yet fulfilled. And so he hid himself. He ran away, and he hid himself, and he went to speak again later. But his time was not come. So God had this plan for his people, that his son would give salvation to all those who would believe in him. And the Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, Christ came. In the exact perfect moment in history, Christ came. And I think that we can often, I know I myself am guilty of this, that we can see the events in the world around us, and we get uneasy or we get nervous. We tend to not understand exactly what is going on. And we can get nervous about what the future will look like. What will it look like for us? What will it look like for future generations, if there are any? But let's have a trust and a faith to know that God sent his son Jesus in the fullness of time to come, and he will come again at the perfect time. Not when it is the perfect timing in our eyes, not when we think is the best for him to come, but he will come in return at the exact right time that he has to. Let's have that faith that God knows exactly what we, his people, need. And speaking of this I am, it's a very bold statement that Jesus says, I am, calling himself that, but it is, again, it is true because of who he is. And Thomas, his disciple, did not believe in him. Thomas, of course, we know that he said, unless I see him, unless I put my fingers into the prints and feel the prints of the nails in his hands, I'm not going to believe. And then in John chapter 20, Jesus appears unto his disciples, and Thomas was with them. And it says, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And I love Thomas's answer here. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God, acknowledging him for who he was. Thomas, after all his doubting that his Lord could be risen again from the dead, after all this doubt, he acknowledges him and says, my Lord and my God. He knew who he was. And Jesus here speaks to Thomas, but he's really speaking to us. And he says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And of course, this is where we today find ourselves. We find ourselves in the time after Christ's death and resurrection. We have not seen him. We have not been able to put our fingers into his nail prints and to feel his side where he was pierced, where the water ran from him. No, we don't have that opportunity. But Jesus says, blessed are we if we believe in him, that he can give us life. Unless, as we just read in John chapter 8, unless we believe in who Jesus is and the power he has to give us victory over death, over sin, that we will die in that sin. Another beautiful example, if I can find it, is in John chapter 18. Again, this is differently written differently in the Gospel of John than the other Gospels. At the time of Jesus' arrest, it says in John chapter 18, verse 3, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons, again, to arrest Jesus. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon them, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And again, that he is italicized. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, or I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Because of the power of what he was saying. He was saying, I am God. And the power of speaking the name of God, they were no match for that. They fell backwards. And imagine that. They're coming to arrest him. They're coming to arrest and crucify the Lord of glory, and they can't even stand on their feet when he speaks. And this is, again, proof. We know that Jesus told us that no man can take my life, but I lay it down. I lay it down of myself. It was not possible for them, without Jesus' consent, to put him to death, because, again, who he was God. And he could not be put to death unless he let them. This power over mankind, this power over all the authority of the soldiers, anyone who came to arrest him, he had a power over them, again, because he is. He always was, and he always will be forever. As we heard this morning, our goal must be to see Jesus, to be with him forever, to see and to look into his face, the one who is pierced for us, for our salvation, for our sins. And we read in the book of Acts that Philip spoke with the eunuch and explained to him the scriptures in the Old Testament. The eunuch was reading these scriptures from the Old Testament that he didn't understand. And he asked Philip, what do these things mean? And Philip explained to him Jesus, who Jesus is, what he did for us. And the eunuch asks him and says, What hinders me? What's getting in the way of me being baptized? And Philip says, believe with all your heart, and you can be baptized. And the eunuch responds, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That full, complete conviction of who Jesus was. And when he said that, when he spoke, I believe, he was baptized. That's all it requires. That's all that God requires from us is a simple faith, a childlike faith that believes in Him. You know, the woman who went and reached and she touched the garment, touched the clothes of Jesus. She just wanted to touch Him. She had a belief that if she touched Him, just His clothes, that her will would be accomplished. Whatever she desired would be accomplished because she believed in Him, and it was done unto her. It was done unto her what she desired. Again, that simple, childlike faith, believing that Jesus is. In Acts, again, Acts chapter 4, Peter was speaking. Acts chapter 4, verse 8, says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And in verse 12 he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This is the name that God the Father has given, His Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. It is by this name and by no other name that we can attain salvation. Religion in this day and age is in a way coming more together. Where many people say, if you just simply believe that there is a God and you live a good life, that you will be saved. But Jesus says, unless you believe in me and who I am and what I have done, you will die in your sins. So it doesn't matter what we of ourselves do. We of ourselves can do nothing. We have mentioned it a few times here recently, and it's true, and it should always be mentioned, that our righteousness, the best possible thing that we can give unto God is His filthy rags. That is us. That is us outside of Him, trying to do our own will. And many religions will teach us that if you're just a good person, if you just don't harm anyone, that God will see you're a good person and you'll have salvation. But the Bible teaches us differently. It teaches us that it doesn't matter what other religions tell us. There is salvation in only one name. The I am that will always be and always was. Let's have this faith in Him alone. He alone can save us. He alone can give us victory over death. The New Testament gives us a pure picture of God's will for us, who He sent His Son to be and who we are to be. We are to be formed into His image, to live a life as He lived, a life that gives no glory to ourselves. Jesus Himself says, I give no glory to myself. That's not what He was about. He was about giving glory to His Father, and that is what we are to do, to live for Him daily, to walk according to His ways, and to believe simply that He is. And that is what He is telling us throughout this whole chapter. It is a long chapter and a beautiful chapter that would require many hours for us to go through and to speak of who He is. And I think we should all do this from time to time. Look into this chapter and the book of John in general, and to see who Jesus Christ is. It says, If the Son therefore shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. We are free from all the hatred, all the doubtings, all the mockings of this world. We are free from it all. We have no worries, as we heard it this morning. Apostle Paul had no worries about what was to come, because he had that simple faith that this life didn't matter. This life, this body didn't matter. It's all going to burn anyway. Let's have that faith that he is, and that he always will be, and that he can give to us life and that everlasting with him. May God bless his word in our hearts. Amen.
The great I am desires to have a relationship with each and every one of us. He loves us so that he sent his only begotten Son, that in the fullness of time we might receive of this blessing to be able to know Jesus Christ, to love him, to serve him, to hear his voice, and to follow in his way. The Pharisees did not have this relationship with God. Jesus says, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father." They didn't have a relationship with the Father. They sought to serve him, but they weren't doing it in truth. Jesus Christ came here to bring truth, and that truth will make us free. Jesus says that in this chapter, "He that is of God heareth God's word." He that is of God heareth God's word. As we are of the children of God, we have established a relationship with the Lord, and we're continuously building that relationship with the Lord, with the great I Am. We're coming to know him more and more and to trust in him more and more. And we are hearing his words. We believe his words. We are obedient to his words. And he loves us and he reveals himself more and more to each and every one of us. As we have that disposition about ourselves, that we just want to serve him, we want to love him, we want to obey him, and we want to build that relationship with him. A great name that God has. And yet God says that he loved Jesus so much that God hath highly exalted him. God had highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in things of heaven and things of earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the God that we serve. He loves us so, and he wants us to have a deep, deep relationship with him. May we heed his voice. Amen.